Evening, everybody.
Glad to see all your faces. Glad you're here. Grateful for the opportunity to try and encourage you tonight. Hope I get a chance to. Let me see. So, we're going to continue on in our study that I've been working on over the last several times I've been up in front about word study in a New American Standard translation of the Bible, New Testament of the words, considered. This is message number 4. I think it'll finish it up tonight. So we're going to pick up and go forward from there. And like I said, hopefully we'll finish up tonight. I think we should. So let's open with a word of prayer to our sponsor. Great God, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you again for the assembly of the saints. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for your word that you've preserved, for the opportunities that we get, us guys, to come forward and encourage and equip the saints for the work of service, strengthening their faith, knowing that it comes through your word, which if we deliver it accurately and it's implanted on behalf of the listener, it will save their souls. But it'll also help us all to understand what you've entrusted to us. And again, the real key for all of us is to properly appraise your word and the value that it carries for us, to understand we are engaged in a true spiritual war, that it could get messy and difficult at times, but if we remain faithful and our trust is placed in you and your word through the assistance of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we will be victors. And that's the great confidence that you give us, the hope that's real that awaits us each. So I just pray for the message tonight that I would convey your thoughts, Lord, and that it would bring about your praise and your glory and the strengthening of the saints in their faith. And I ask this all that you would be glorified, Lord Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, we're going to open in Luke chapter 7 tonight. We're going to be looking at the last set of words. And again, I just have my notes here for passages. But the words tonight we're going to be looking at are two primary words in the form of them, some degree or another, that have to do with, they derive from the word, the New Testament word, if you look it up, it's New Testament word 71, and it has to do with to lead or to command. And that's going to be one of the words we're going to be looking at. And then the other one's going to be words that are a form of the word that comes in the Greek that most often is communicated to represent the mind or the intellectual mind. That's the word nous. It sounds like a noose that you would put around somebody's neck. It's spelled N-O-U-S in the English, if we were to spell it. But that's mind. We're going to look at some forms of that word that are actually translated, both this word ago and then which is going to come across in a couple of forms that are derived from that. Ox eos. Actually, we're going to be looking at the verb form, which is ox eao, and that's the verb form, and then a strengthened form, that a compound verb, kata ox eao, kata ox eao. Okay, now you don't need to know these. I'm just telling you these are the words that I engage in the study personally to figure out, okay, what words in the Greek is God using here when we see him translated in New American Standard as consider, considered, considering? Because usually when somebody says consider this, we always, just in a basic rudimentary level in our culture and our understanding of our language, it's like, hey, this is something I should pay attention to, is immediate connotation I think it carries. I think that would be what most of you would think as well. So these are, when God says consider, this is something in my mind, he's saying this is something to pay attention to. So that's what started this whole study and why I'm going through this and trying to show you guys what some of the words are. Because the Greek is a very descriptive language, and depending on the declension of those words, the forms of the words, it's very definitive, and it also gives the subtleties that are in the language of the Greeks that are not in our language, the English language, which is really a mutt language. And all I mean is it's just a combination of a lot of languages that have come together, predominantly Latin, German, you know, Greek, heavy Greek influence, and then, you know, you got your Anglo-Saxon that's thrown in there as well. So it's a very mixed bag where we get our words that we use in the English, whereas the Greek is very descriptive language. A lot of languages outside of English, based on the way that they are formed, the way they decline in verb forms, just they communicate a lot. So God used the Greek for that reason, and then, you know, he said, study to show yourself approved. Okay, we should take that, I think, seriously from him as well. So, you know, I have always encouraged you guys, get engaged in personal Bible study for your own personal growth. And then if you find something you think is really valuable, and you guys get the opportunity to come up front, then start a series on that. Just as you come up front to preach, work through a series. You don't have to get up here and preach a three-point message. You can do class type, if you want to qualify what I've been doing as that. You can do teaching type stuff. Okay, it's preaching and teaching that we do in the assembly. All right, so that's what I'm doing. Just kind of trying to encourage you all again. All right, so we're going to look at Luke 7. We're going to start tonight. We're going to look at this Greek word that appears 11 times in the New Testament in this Greek form, and it's Ox-e-ox-e-a-o. You know, I know you're all going, oh, okay. All right, now just so you understand, here's the basic idea of this word. It's to deem entitled or fit, desire, think good, count. Think of something worthy, deemed valuable, has weight. Okay, now remember, I've been on this value kick, this, you know, have we appraised things and esteemed it, its value, the word of God, brethren, all these various things. And so this fits right in there, and that's what this word communicates, right? I just started considering this is what comes across. So understand, that's kind of the background. So Luke 7:7 is where we're going to start, and this word shows up here, where it's actually going to have the word considered thrown in there, okay? It says, for this reason, verse 7, this is speaking about what Jesus has been doing, I did not even consider myself worthy, this is the servant talking to him as he's going to heal somebody, to come to you, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. I did not, you know, for this reason, I did not even consider, I didn't see myself, I didn't count myself worthy is what he's saying here. Okay, I didn't feel I had weight or any value before you, Jesus. That's what's being conveyed there. Okay, just showing you how it's used. 1 Timothy 5:17 is where I would like you to go next, if you would. We'll be flying around through some scriptures tonight, trying to get through this. And again, my goal is to try and get as much of this out as I can tonight. And you guys, if you find verses that you want to put down a piece of paper and go back and look at the context, highly recommend you do that. I'm just going to pull stuff kind of out and give you some background. This is talking about elders here, 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy, valuable. Count them as worthy. Deem them valuable. Deem them weighty. Okay, and how is that expressed? Double honor. Now, that's that word honor. I shared my Lord's Supper last week in the morning assembly. That word honor, time, which is, you know, communicates value. Okay, price. So that's how you would express that they're, as it says here in verse 17, considered worthy. Double honor. You're going to pay them what they're worth. This congregation should work towards a point where we have elders. And that includes supporting them, because the work of an elder is a full-time job in a local congregation. They shouldn't be holding an outside job and then trying to do the real, true work of an elder within a congregation. Divided attention, they're not going to be able to get it done. So are we willing to start to think about double honor? You know, I don't mean you have to pay him double what we're paying Nolan. You know, I'm not saying that, okay? I'm just saying that are you willing to count that position, that office, as worthy of that? And will we support it? Things to think about, okay? Now, that's just the two. There are other uses of this word, and I just want to look at one other one just for now. There's several others, okay, but I want to go to Hebrews chapter 3, if you would. And it isn't going to be translated considered, but notice just what it says here. And this is talking about Jesus, the high priest, and this is the comparison of him. Okay, it's going to move towards Jesus, high priest, but the comparison of him to Moses. Verse 3, after he talks about Moses was faithful in his house. Verse 3, transitioning to Jesus. For he, Jesus, has been counted worthy. There's that word. Okay? Oxeo, there's that verb. Counted worthy. He's considered worthy. He's valuable. He's weighty. Right? We understand that. Of more glory than Moses. By just so much as the builder of the house has more honor. There's that word again. Than the house. You see, and all of a sudden now we got a couple of words showing up that I've looked at recently. By the way, when I started looking at honor stuff, it wasn't because it showed up in these verses. I had started that, but I started to notice, hey, this is showing up. Thus the reason for me wanting to talk about that in my Lord's Supper last Lord's Day. Value, weight, counted worthy, deemed worthy. Think of it good, you know, valuable, all these things. Okay, so that's just one other way it's used. And a lot of times it's translated that way, counted worthy. Okay, so let's look at the next word that's a compound of this, kata, oxeo, okay? Kata is a primary participle or prepositional, you know, I guess we'll say preposition for the sake of tonight, that's going to be placed before this verb. And when you have kata, it can mean very different things based on what case is being used and in the context. Okay, let me give you an idea what that primary particle or preposition can convey, okay, depending on how it's used in the case. About, according to, okay, according as or according to. Let me give you an example off the top of my head about according to. In Titus it says, appoint elders in every city. See, now that can become an issue in the church where there's no elders in place. This congregation has no elders, so somebody could come in and say, hey, Titus is told to appoint elders in every church, and you have no elders. What's going on with you guys? How come you're not following the scriptural pattern? Well, kata means, in the genitive case, in the accusative case, if I remember right, it means, typically, when you look in all the language of the Greek, it means according to, not every. Now, it can be convey a sense of kind of an every, but there's a very descriptive Greek word for every or all, pas. Okay? This isn't that word. It's kata. What am I getting at? You're supposed to appoint elders, Paul said to Titus, according to city. Ah, that makes much more sense, doesn't it? Because now you're going to make sure the qualifications for an elder are in place before you appoint an elder. You're not just going to willy-nilly put an elder in there. See, so you get this elder stuff rise in a lot of congregations, usually among people that are disenfranchised by the preacher. Or maybe they think the preacher has too much power. Well, we got to cut that out, cut him, his legs out from underneath him, so the best way to do that is we attack the issue of elders. Believe me, brethren, that goes on over and over within the congregations out there. And I know it's going on in another place right now. I'm not going to name it, but I know it's going on, not in Montana. Okay? So that's kata. That can mean according to. But also another, when it's put together with certain verbs and in certain cases that it's used, it can mean exceeding, more excellent, okay, beyond, measure. That's different from according to, isn't it? Kind of, you're like, what? Well, again, it's based on how it's used in the case. This is why you would want to study a little Greek. It doesn't make you a Greek scholar. You just see the way that the word is used, and you notice what the case is. You go, oh, that's pretty consistent in the translations of the Greek text into the English translations. And then you can follow that and see, okay, is this translation faithful, or is there a bias that I see popping up? There's a value, again, of studying the Greek language. Not to make you Greek scholars. I don't claim to be a Greek scholar. But I can follow patterns, brethren. I can recognize that these patterns not only are true in the scripture, but when you go and look at the writings of that time in this dead language, meaning it's, you know, no changes to it, okay? Not spoken anymore predominantly. It's very set, and you can define it pretty well and easily. Then you can figure out the patterns, see? That's what it's all about. So I just want to, you know, express that to you. So we're going to see that in the verses that I'm going to talk to you about, it's going to be talking about fullness, more, exceeding, okay? Beyond that type of a concept being communicated in this verb. Okay, Luke 20 is where we're going to start. Okay? And this is kata Oh, you got that? Say it with me twice fast. Okay. You get it? I can't even say it twice fast. Okay. All right, chapter 20, verse 35. Jesus telling the parable of the fig tree. Okay. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, my words will not pass away, in verse 33. Be on guard, he goes on. I'm in Luke 21. I'm sorry. I knew that looked wrong. I'm going, that ain't where that's at. What am I doing? Great use of the English language, ain't, isn't it? Isn't it? And that my wife would say that's better the way I close it out with, isn't it? Ain't a word. Don't you know that? Ooh, I just got all the English teachers. And I'm like, Luke 20:35. Okay. Sons of this age, Mary in verse 34. You guys know this. You guys know the background of this passage, right? Don't you? When the saddest of all you see is come and ask them about a resurrection. Remember, they didn't believe in it. Anyway, so they give this woman marries seven different men. And in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Who will she belong to? Who's, you know? And Jesus says, the sons of this age marry in verse 34 and are given in marriage. Verse 35, he says, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Those who are considered worthy, entirely deserving, okay, entirely deserving of the resurrection is what's being driven at there, okay? Acts 5. Remember, this is where the word consider shows up, but you notice it's now adding worthy to it. And that's where you're going to see this always translated in the New American Standard Version, always this way. Acts 5. Verse 41, Gamaliel's counsel, after they beat the boys and sent them out. Verse 40, they took his advice, Gamaliel's advice, and after flogging the apostles, after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and then release them. Here's an example of a really great attitude, one that I need to think about. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy, entirely deserving to suffer shame for his name. That could become a reality for all of us at some point, and soon. You know, just a mindset that's being revealed for us in the scripture, okay, about something we need to consider. The last one we want to look here is 2 Thessalonians 1:5. If you turn over there, please. Most of you should know what this context is. It's about who God's going to deal out retribution to. There's two groups. Those who do not know the gospel and those who do not obey. Right? That's the retribution. If you know it, you're not doing the right. If you're not obeying the gospel, if you're listening to another gospel, you're in trouble too, right? But he goes on here in verse 5 where we're going to look at this verse, this verb that's used here where we see the word considered joined in there. So he says, this is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment. What is? We ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance in the faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is what he's talking about. Remember back in Acts 5? See the same. See how this is tied together to the same concept here? This, you get to go through persecutions and afflictions which you endure with great perseverance and your faith isn't shaken. This becomes the indication of God's righteous judgment so that you, Christian, will be considered worthy, entirely deserving of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. That's going to be one of God's indication of God's righteous judgment. If the judgment of God begins with a household of God first, what's to become of the sinner and the unrighteous? Right? Peter says, all right. So those are the ones that have considered worthy. All right? All righty. Let's go now to the word that has to do with mind. Okay, and this is the forms of mind, nous, This is going to be two forms. And you're going to notice that it's going to be kata again in front of one of these verbs, a compound word again. So we get to find out, okay, what are we going to find out with the way this word is used? So first we'll start with noeo, okay? And that is a derivative of the word nous, which is the word mind that we see almost overwhelmingly. I think there's a few other ways it's translated in the New Testament, the word nous. But it means the intellectual part of your mind, okay? So we're talking about using our intellect, reasoning processes. That's the background here. So you're going to exercise your mind. If I want to encapsulate the word na'eo, it means you're exercising your intellect, your intellectual mind. And this is what God's big on. Are you going to be reasonable, rational, logical? Because that's what he thinks. Everything's ordered that he's created. Amen? I mean, we see it everywhere. So he says, I want you to have ordered thinking. All right? So let's start with 2 Timothy, since we're near that with the second test. 2 Timothy, it's going to be that word, no-e-o, okay? It shows up 14 times in the New Testament, and it is almost always, except for this one in 2 Timothy 2:7 here, translated, understood, understand, something like that. Interesting. 2 Timothy 2. Again, in verse 4, no soldier in active service entangles himself, herself as where, as well, in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Rational, logical, okay? The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. That's a different word, that understanding there. Okay? And I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to encourage you to look it up. Later. Don't go to your olive tree apps. No, give me that. And I've lost you. Later. Okay? Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Actually means you got to put things together. Okay? All right. That's where that word shows up is considered. Every other time, it's pretty much translated understand or understood. I could take you to a bunch. Let me see here. There was one I was thinking I would want you to look at, but we're running out of time, so I'm going to have to kind of edit on the fly here. Again, in this word, there's the idea of not only you're exercising the mind to observe something, but you're supposed to come away with a perception. You're supposed to perceive something rightly, okay? So you're supposed to perceive what you're supposed to perceive. So this is the word that's used in, let's go to Mark 7. I'll just use this one. There's others I wanted to use, but this is just to show you how it's translated, okay? Typically, Mark 7. And he's going to get on him. This is after he gets on him about, elevating the tradition of men to the doctrines of God, okay? So that they can keep their tradition. He gets down here in chapter 7 of Mark, verse 14. He called the crowd to him again. He began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. That's not the word there. It's a different one. We want to look at Mark 7:18. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. So what is it? It's this thing up here, see? The brain. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, are you so lacking in perception also? Do you not understand that whatever goes in the man from the outside cannot defile him, but it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated. Remember, the heart's always talking about the mind. So he's more concerned about what goes into the mind and then what comes out. And he lays that out in the following verses. Okay, so that's just consider. So what is this saying? Are we thinking about this rationally? Are we exercising the mind properly? And are we getting the are we perceiving what the Lord's trying to teach us? Spiritual things always are the greater, right? So you can see he's trying to get, like, you're worried about the food going in. That's not the big thing. It's what's going into here. That's why he said in a couple places in the gospel, be careful what you listen to. And then he also said, be careful how you listen. You know, why? Some of us, teacher, teacher, tickle my ears. Teacher, teacher, tell me what I wants to hear, right? So, okay. Let's look at the compound of this. There's more of this word used in the form where we're going to see considered. Okay, we're in Mark. Let's go to Luke. And this is the compound, kata naeo. Naeo, okay? Kata naeo. And that again is, here, let me, okay, so remember I told you that word with kata can mean according to? So think according to full or complete perception. According to full or complete perception. Luke 12, a couple of them in Luke 12, 24 and 27. Okay. And he said to his disciples, verse 22, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. Okay, according to full perception. There's an idea. You're looking and watching these things, and you're making a connection. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And he's going to go back down there in verse 28, okay, of this same chapter. Making sure I get the right. Or 27, sorry. He says, verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory. Am I in the right verse? It doesn't seem right. Hang tight here. No. Yeah, 27, consider the lilies. That's the same one. That's the word. So according to full perception, he's just saying, look at the order God's putting things, how he takes care of that. If he's taking care of that and you can't fully explain how that all works, don't you think I can take care of you and whatever you need? Do you have the kind of faith to... Okay, so I beat that one to death. Hebrews 3. And then we're going to go to Hebrews 10 after this. We're going to go to Hebrews 3:1. Again, this is talking about Jesus. We looked at the other use of word where it's translated counted worthy that I wanted you to see when we were looking at the word a-o, okay? Now we're going to look at the word where it's actually translated consider. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Okay, that's pretty clear. Full perception. The apostle and high priest of our confession. And he's going to really move through a bunch of information that's going to help him to consider that properly. From a spiritual perspective, not just his earthly, physical representation and pattern and example, but everything that coordinates and moves into the spiritual realm. Consider according to full perception. Okay, Hebrews 10. And again, I'm going fast just because I want to get these in front of you guys to consider. A little play on words here. To think about. Hebrews 10. This is really, really an important section here in Hebrews 10. He says in verse 23, and where we're going to look at is verse 24, where consider shows up. He said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so here's a pretty important one, right? According to full perception, You need to figure out how you can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And where is that going to be most effective? When we're assembled together. When we're assembled together. How important is the assembly? How valuable is the assembly? See, I keep expressing my concerns about the assembly with you guys. There's so many things involved around the assembly where there's opportunity for us to really help one another. Okay? So, and I'm always thankful for everybody that's faithful to the assemblies. And I'm thankful that those that can't make it have the opportunity online to hear the things that are going on. Okay? I want you to turn over to Luke 6. Just another way that this is translated. No, I'm sorry, Luke 20. I said Luke 6, didn't I? I meant Luke 20. Looking at the wrong line. Sorry, guys. Luke 20. Remember, this is when the guys came and they tried to trap him with, we'll just read the context rather than me trying to explain it. Verse 21, Luke 20. They questioned him, Jesus, saying, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach correctly, and you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth." You can just feel the trap getting ready to be sprung, don't you? "Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Verse 23, but he detected according to full perception. But Jesus, according to full perception, recognized their trickery and said to them. Hebrews 5 says something about we need to have our senses trained to discern between good and evil. What a great example, right? So I just want to show you, this is kind of communicating what this word is carrying, all right? Detection, looking to perceive. There's an outcome you're supposed to get when you look at this word. There is one other word that I had that's a form earlier of... It kind of comes from the first two verbs that I talked about earlier, oxa eos and the kata oxa eos, all right? It's hegeomai, and it's got several uses where it's translated consider. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to hit a couple of them tonight. It's often, this word, hegeomai, is often translated leader, governor, judge, but it's someone who governs, someone who judges is the context of that. There is an adjective for this word that actually means it's a governor and a noun or something like that. So this is the verb form, but it means one who is leading you, okay, or is deemed a leader. Command with authority, okay. So all this has to do with authority, value, leading. It's I'm trying to think of how I can say this in the best way I might communicate this word. And we'll just take a look at a couple of quick ones and we'll close down tonight. It's a thinking process that involves attaching exceeding value to something. Is the best way I can communicate that? That attaches exceeding value. A leading or an authoritative thought or thinking process that attaches exceeding value. Okay? So let's just go to Hebrews, and we'll just take a look at a couple of quick ones. Hebrews 11. And then we'll shut her down for tonight. I appreciate you guys' patience. Again, I probably could have broken this up into two messages, but I thought, they're probably ready to move on this topic to something else next time I'm up. So maybe next time I'll talk about praise. How's that sound? Sure. Why not? Okay, so Hebrews 11:11. This is the Hall of Fame of Faith, the faith chapter, so I figured this would be pretty good. Looking at verse 11, it's talking about Sarah. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Is that the picture you have of Sarah when that whole deal went down? He said, when I come next year, Sarah will have a child. You guys remember that story? Genesis chapter 17? You remember that? I thought she laughed. Something for you guys to think about. Go back and reread that and come and read this. Shows you what process Sarah went through in her thinking. And the writer of the book of Hebrews is presenting that to us. Okay? That's why I wanted to read that one in particular. Get you guys to go back and reread that when he made the promise of the child. Okay? Remember, she was barren. Hebrews 11, 26. And this is, of course, Moses. We'll begin verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ or the Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Considering, this was an exceeding valuable thought in the mind of Moses, wasn't it? So there's all kinds of things that Satan throws before us. Tyler read about the temptation that Satan threw before Jesus. Yeah. Just bow down before me, prostrate yourself before me. I'll give you all these kingdoms and their glory. Right? All kinds of things like that are thrown at us on a daily basis. So we have to set our mind on what has exceeding value. Again, this is just representative, the ones I'm reading. There's others. I just wanted you to see this. He considered the reproach of Christ. And it was talked about this morning by Mr. Toole that many of the friends he used to run around with BC before Christ pretty much has no contact with him, and it's more on their end than his end that that's occurred. Because you take up and seek the riches of Christ, okay, the greater riches of Christ, you're going to bear the reproach. Your friends will abandon you. Your family will abandon you. So what's of exceeding value? What's the thinking of exceeding value? In a word, literally, the word. That's Joe Biden talking. In a word, one word, the word, two words. Okay, so, sorry, couldn't help it. Okay, so that's what I got for you tonight, and that'll kind of take care of what we've been talking about with considering. Those are three forms of that word that show up in the New American Standard. I hope you'll get engaged a little bit on your own study on this afterwards. And I think next time we get together, I am going to take a look into praise and some things involved with that, and we'll talk about that. Okay, so appreciate your guys' attention. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the assembly. This is an incredibly valuable tool, really, that you've equipped us, or actually made available to us for the purpose of equipping. And I particularly appreciate the communication there in Hebrews 10. This is where we stimulate one another to love and good deeds. The assembly is super valuable to you, and it should be deemed valuable to us. We should consider the fact that this is where we get the greatest opportunity on an individual basis to make an impact on one another in a positive sense, in the upbuilding of one another and the strengthening of our faith. So thank you again, Father, that through the language that we have in this time, in our day, the English language, you still have used a way that you can grab the attention of many of us that see things as we're reading and go, whoa, I should look into that further. And that's what I appreciate about the way your word's put together. It does stimulate us to do a little personal study. So I'm grateful for that and just pray that the brethren will see the value in that and engage in it themselves. So thankful again for the opportunity just to be a part of your kingdom, to share in the mercy that you've extended to us through yourself, and that you've also given us a tremendous reward that lies ahead should we remain faithful. And that is my picture of all that are in the assembly, is that we will remain faithful as we exhort and encourage one another. Thank you again, Father, for the word which you have preserved. And again, thank you for the plan that you put forth from before the beginning of all creation, really, to bring forth Jesus, come forth as Jesus, to be the lamb worthy to be slain, and then to be glad to hand over to us the kingdom. So thankful for that. Help the brothers and sisters have a great remainder of their night, restful night's sleep, get home safely from here, and to rise tomorrow remembering the incredible value you've placed on each one of us. and the confidence that you have communicated through your word of how we can get this job done to your glory. Thank you again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.